Days late to save me, looks like. So we're not getting snowed out this morning, so I'm going to have to go through with this. Where's Andrew Tibbs when you need him, yeah? He always used to draw the short straw on this kind of thing. So most of you know me. I'm Brian Welch, one of the deacons here, so just filling in for Brother Keith today. So if you're a visitor, this is not what you're going to get next Sunday. So I'll be your preacher for at least the next 5 minutes, so I can promise that. Everybody get on the lunch early this morning. Let's pray before we get started. Lord, I just thank you for the opportunity to study and teach your word. Help us to always be aware of the things that you would teach us through your word. As we study what you have to say about rebuilding, please prepare our hearts for the work you're doing in each of our lives. Help us to grow to become more like you each and every day through the help of your spirit, and build in us the things that we need to be better disciples of Jesus. Thank you for all you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. So, not being a preacher, how do you come up with a sermon, right? So that was my first issue. How do you come up with a message to share? So I kind of fell back on the way that I study the Bible. And so I always read daily, through the 1 year, through the Bible kind of thing, you know. But, you know, sometimes I feel like God leads you into wanting to study and know more about certain concepts, I guess. For example, we've heard Brother Keith talk last couple of months or whatever, maybe even a year or so. He's been studying in Scripture the concept of contentment. Okay, so, you know, I've been through several phases. We all go through different phases in our walk, I guess. So, you know, what are some of these concepts that I'm talking about? And what I like to do is, you know, when I feel like God's working on something in my life, I want to go to all the different parts of the Bible and see, you know, where he worked on this in other people, you know, in different times, different, you know, economics, different political, you know, everything. How did God work some of these concepts through multiple people spread out over Scripture? Okay, so some of these concepts that I'm talking about, rebuilding is one of them. That's the one we're going to talk about today. But others that I've kind of studied on my own, salvation, that, you know, that's one that you look through the Bible, it's everywhere, right? You know, and how does God work his plan of salvation through different people throughout the Bible? Sin, that's a natural one that, you know, you can find as a concept to study more on. And the Bible is full of it. You know, it's full of sinful people and sin and examples of sin. So others, one that I studied probably not long ago, being faith. Sometimes we go through dry moments in our faith. Sometimes we're, you know, all about it, raising the hand, shouting the praises. Sometimes, you know, we're not. Sometimes we're dry and, you know, just wore out and exhausted. So, you know, going back through Scripture, different places, you can study faith and see where, you know, God worked on it in this person, and God worked on it in this person. Brokenness, it's everywhere in the Bible, you know. Mercy, that was the one a couple years ago I really felt like I needed to work on, was mercy. And so, you know, when you study through the Bible, God tells you all about it. You know, if you're looking to study mercy in the Bible or rebuilding in the Bible, you're going to find it. You find what you're looking for, okay? So those are some of the concepts that, you know, I've thought about. And this one, rebuilding, is one that I feel like God was kind of working in my life when it was time to come up with a sermon, okay? So, you know, most of you know, me and my dad built this podium back in 2018. Built the Lord's Supper table in 2020, I believe. The top for the Lord's Supper table, I was never happy with it, okay? I built it, but I was never happy with it. It was an epoxy table, okay, river table, epoxy river table. Most everybody in here has probably seen it. But I was never happy with the way that it turned out. The epoxy pour was a lot bigger than I'd ever done before, and so there were multiple factors that just, it didn't turn out like I had hoped, right? So my plan was to rebuild it. So, you know, I thought about how I'm going to do that without, you know, having to disappear the table for a while. So I built the new top. And once I got the new top built, I come here, got Matt to help me, took the old top off, put the new top on, you know, there's your table, okay? But the rebuilding part is really with the river table top, all right? So I'm not happy with the way it turned out, and I don't like just giving up on failure, right? So I want to rebuild this table. I want to make something out of that. So it's in my shop. Let me tell you something about epoxy tables, okay? If you don't like the sand, and I don't like the sand, then don't build an epoxy table, because it's all about sanding, okay? I mean, you've got to work it through so many different grits of sandpaper. Anyway, enough about all that. But that is what God's was working on me. And so the concept of rebuilding was in my mind, okay? Timely, considering what's going on out in California now, but not the intended target of my sermon, okay? But still lessons that we can learn from all of it. So what does it look like when God rebuilds something? So when I say biblical rebuilding, I want to know about, in the Bible, you know, how does God rebuild? What does God rebuild? What kind of things does he use to accomplish his purposes? And so there's lots of examples in the Bible. If you're studying about rebuilding, you can't even get out of the first couple of pages in Genesis. God has to rebuild the whole world because of sin. He has to rebuild the Garden of Eden. He has to kick them out. He has to put protections on the tree of life. In the first, you know, little bit, he's rebuilding. You know, other examples from the Bible that you could study. Noah and the flood. That one's not far behind. Okay? So there's lots to learn from him. Not just rebuilding worlds, though. God is into rebuilding lives. Okay? So look at the example of Joseph. You know, things didn't start out so good for him, but, you know, the Lord rebuilt him into a story, right? Somebody important. Moses, he had to rebuild their civilization after leaving slavery in Egypt. He had to build their worship. You know, God did all of that. Even just so you don't think I'm stuck in the Old Testament, I do have a New Testament. Saul, Paul, God rebuilt him, rebuilt his life. You know, it started out one way, and God rebuilt it completely in another way for his purpose. So the temple is our example today. We're going to start out talking about the temple. And that's why we're in Ezra. So, Matt, if you want to bring that up, we'll read through Ezra. So, before we do, though, this is kind of the start of the story. It's the start of the rebuilding story, but it's not the start of the story, okay? So, the story starts back when the temple was destroyed, right? And the Israelites were led away in captivity. So let's not forget how the story starts. We're picking it up after about 60, 70 years of them being in exile. That's not in their homeland. And so this is where we're picking up the story. So I'm going to read through Ezra chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. In the first year of King Cyrus of Persia, now, I didn't make it very far without stopping. I know Brother Keith likes to stop too, but we're going to come back and we're going to talk about Cyrus, okay, because he's one of our characters in this story. All right, so we're going to talk about him and how God uses him. But let's go a little bit further. The Lord fulfilled the prophecy he had given through Jeremiah. Now see, I can't just read right there. You know, when I read that, I'm like, what is this prophecy of Jeremiah, right? So if you're reading the Bible in order, Ezra is up front and Jeremiah is way on back here. So is it a spoiler to go ahead and read the prophecy of Jeremiah? No, it's not. And we're gonna read a lot from Jeremiah today, okay? So Ezra is just kind of our jumping off point for the rebuilding example of rebuilding the temple, okay? But God did a lot of work, not surprisingly, beforehand, okay? So back in Jeremiah's day, we're even going to go back and talk about Isaiah. And all of these stories kind of play together to accomplish God's overall purpose, okay? So I'm going to keep reading for now. He stirred the heart of Cyrus to put this proclamation in writing and to send it throughout his kingdom. This is what King Cyrus of Persia says. The Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth. He has appointed me to build him a temple at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Any of you who are his people may go to Jerusalem in Judah to rebuild this temple of the Lord, the God of Israel, who lives in Jerusalem. And may your God be with you. Wherever this Jewish remnant is found, let their neighbors contribute toward their expenses by giving them silver and gold, supplies for the journey, and livestock. Sorry. As well as voluntary offering for the temple of God in Jerusalem. Then God stirred the hearts of the priests and Levites and the leaders of the tribe of Judah and Benjamin to go to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple of the Lord. And all their neighbors assisted them by giving them articles of silver and gold, supplies for the journey, and livestock. They gave them many valuable gifts in addition to all the voluntary offerings. Here's our friend King Cyrus again. King Cyrus himself brought out the articles that King Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the Lord's temple in Jerusalem and had placed in the temple of his own gods. So here we go. God's started this rebuilding project of rebuilding his temple, okay? And he worked through King Cyrus of Persia, not a believer. I hate to let that be a spoiler, but not a believer. But God still used him and worked through him. So let's talk about, I told you this is not the start of the story. So they're really kind of three books in the Old Testament that represent the end of Jewish history. And those being Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther. All right, we've heard Brother Keith talk about Esther. She's kind of sandwiched in the middle of those. But these books, this book, Ezra, is what is called one of the post-captivity books. Okay, so we talked about the beginning of the story, right? The temple's destroyed. Israel, their king, Zedekiah, who don't feel too bad for him because the Bible says that he did evil in the Lord's sight. They killed all of his sons, blinded him, and led him away in chains. Okay, so that's part of this story as well. It also includes, some of these books also include some of the smaller prophets, the minor prophets, Haggai. We've talked about him before, Zechariah and Malachi. So all of those guys were players in the story during this time, when they're going back to rebuild the temple. Okay? So let's talk about King Cyrus. All right? Why did he make a decree to go back and rebuild the temple? All right? Well, let's jump back about 200 years, okay, to the book of Isaiah. And this is what Isaiah had to say 200 years before King Cyrus. God really, he knows how to fulfill his promises, if y'all didn't know that. If you're looking through the Bible, if there's a prophecy, he fulfills it, okay? And this was a 200-year, previous prophecy, and he's fulfilling it. This is what the Lord says to Cyrus, his anointed one. This is not on the screen. I'm just reading you this. Out of Isaiah chapter 44, verses 26 through 28. But I carry out the predictions of my prophets. That's what he says. By them I say to Jerusalem, people will live here again. And to the towns of Judah, you will be rebuilt. I will restore your ruins. When I speak to the rivers and say, dry up, they will be dry. When I say of Cyrus, 200 years before, don't forget, he is my shepherd, he will certainly do as I say. He will command, rebuild Jerusalem, and he will say, restore the temple. Okay? So God is planning this, way ahead of King Cyrus making his decree. Okay? God is the one that has led Cyrus to make that decree, okay? And he predicted that he would some 200 years before, all right? So if we're talking about biblical rebuilding, I've got some points. This is not a pointless sermon. But unlike Brother Keith, I'm not going to tell you how many I have, okay? Because I'm going to leave you in suspense. So I could have one of these points, or I could have 30 of these things. And y'all just are not going to know until I pray, okay? All right, the first thing I want us to talk about when we're talking about rebuilding, that our example of the temple, okay? Let's go back and think about this, all right? And you can't start the story without thinking about this. God tears things down, okay? And he tears down temples, he tears down civilizations, he tears down us. There's lots of things that God tears down, okay? We can't start the story without acknowledging that, okay? The temple was God's temple. He led Solomon to build this temple and establish worship there. This was God's temple, okay? And he destroyed it. He let it be destroyed, however you want to look at it, okay? But at the end of the day, if we believe in God's sovereign will, God destroyed the temple. He tore it down, okay? So we've got to accept that and deal with that, all right? As hard as it may be in our lives, and we're not just talking about construction projects here today, God tears things down, okay? He also, with that same power, builds things up, which is what we're looking at, okay? But we've got to start with the understanding that sometimes he tears things down, all right? Now, let's get back to our friend Jeremiah, okay? So I told you that we would talk further about him and the book of Jeremiah. So what was this prophecy? All right, it was in the beginning, the prophecy of Jeremiah. So what was it? You go back and you read Jeremiah, let me tell you, okay? It's not pretty. It's not a good read, because you want to let you in on a little secret? There is a lot of God's judgment, and there is a lot of destruction in Jeremiah, okay? Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet for a reason. I mean, he lived during a time when literally everything around him was destroyed, and millions of people were carted away to live in another land, and the people that were left behind were next to nobodies, I mean, they were probably just shepherds and whatnot, All the elite the whole civilization carted off. Okay? So there's a lot of that in the book of Jeremiah. All right? And he really lived through it. Jeremiah chapter 1, and I'm going to do a lot of reading from Jeremiah here. Don't have it all on the screen. I didn't want to distract everybody, but maybe just make notes of these verses that I'm reading, and you can go back and read them on your own and study. So starting out in the beginning of Jeremiah, chapter 1, verse 10, God says this, "Today I appoint you to stand up against nations and kingdoms. Some of you must uproot and tear down, destroy and overthrow. Others you must build up and plant." Okay? So we see here at the beginning of Jeremiah, he's pronouncing his judgment on Israel, okay? And it's coming. And he wants to know that there's a time for that, all right? Thanks to our friend, friends the birds. Y'all know the birds, there's a time and a season for everything, right? We know that. That's not just the birds that said that. That's actually in Scripture too. But there's a time for everything, right? There's a time for God to tear things down, and there's a time for God to rebuild them. So we have Israel exiled in captivity. They've been there for multiple years. God talks to them, though, ahead of time through the book of Jeremiah. All right, and looking at another verse through there, Jeremiah chapter 24, verses 6 through 7 says, "I will watch over them and care for them, and I will bring them back here again. I will build them up and not tear them down. I will plant them and not uproot them. I will give them hearts that recognize me as the Lord. They will be my people, and I will be their God, for they will return to me wholeheartedly." So the same power that God uses to tear stuff down, he uses to rebuild things, okay? He can tear down and rebuild all things, all right? Not just temples or, you know, construction type stuff. I'm talking about lives. I'm talking about, you know, faith. I'm talking about, you know, anything that he wants to work on you, he can rebuild it, even if it's tore down. Jeremiah 31, 28 says, "In the past, I deliberately uprooted and tore down this nation. I overthrew it, destroyed it, and brought disaster upon it. But in the future, I will just as deliberately plant it and build it up. I, the Lord, have spoken." So we know that God tears things down, okay? We know that his power does that, and we know that same power is what he uses to rebuild. So why tear things down sometimes? Well, you know, personally, I think, you know, God tears things down in general and in our lives sometimes because we're not suiting his purpose. We're not accomplishing what he wants us to accomplish. And I'm a firm believer in this. God will not build on sin. So, you know, he'll tear it down. I mean, you look through Scripture, God does not accept sin, okay? In every example, he brings his judgment and he tears it down, okay? So God will not build on sin. He won't. He'll tear it down and he'll start over. And that brings me to my next point, okay, which is number two. So I do have two at this point. God rebuilds things for his purpose, okay? Now, I mean, we like to screw things up, don't we? I mean, you know, just speaking from personal experience, you know, we like to screw things up, all right? And God sometimes has to tear those things down in order to build on them for his purpose, okay? At the end of the day, we always think it's all about us, all right? But it's not. It's all about God, okay? And it's all about his purpose. And we're just parts and pieces in that, okay? And you can say that that trivializes our existence or whatever, that we're just, you know, pawns in God's scheme of things. But, you know, if we believe that God is an all-powerful, all-knowing God, then, you know, I want to be doing exactly what he wants me to do. You know, if he wants me up here this Sunday morning, then I don't want to be here, but I'm going to be here doing it, okay? Because he placed that in my path, okay? We have to be servants of him and understand that God builds things for his purpose, not ours. God has a master plan. Some of you have been around here for a while. Y'all remember it was kind of when we first started coming to church here. We had a kind of a building project going on. We were looking at maybe building a new building or whatever. And so we had an architect come in. And, you know, the architect, you know, delivers after, you know, at least 5,000 meetings and different things. You know, this architect delivers us this master plan for, you know, for rebuilding. All the things that we said we wanted to do, that was that. Well, you know, kind of the same way God has a master plan. We don't always understand it, and it's not always presented to us, okay? But he has it, and we have to trust that he has it. And we know that he has it because he says so in his word right here, okay? Jeremiah, again, our friend Jeremiah is really helping out today. Chapter 29, verses 11 through 14. For I know, he knows, the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen. I like this part. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. I love that line right there. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. And that's the truth. I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will end your captivity and restore your fortunes. I will gather you out of the nations where I sent you and will bring you home again to your land. So when God promises a plan, you know, we've got to trust in him that he has that, okay? Here's the hard part. It's not always easy on us, okay? The process for God to rebuild things according to his purpose sometimes puts us in situations that are not ideal for us, all right? Pain, suffering, sickness, death, you know, all personal loss, all of these kind of things that God works on and tears down. These are not easy things for us to deal with, okay? And we're talking about the Israelites that went back to rebuild the temple, all right? There was about 50,000 of them that went back the first time, but it was not easy on them to go back and do this. And, you know, they're going back to a place that was destroyed and in ruins. You know, I mean, not even a place to sleep the night when you get there, that kind of thing. So it's not always easy for us, not always quick and easy for us. 20 years it took God to rebuild this temple the second time, okay? 20 years. So think about that for a minute, you know, and that's living in a destroyed city, and we'll talk about some opposition they faced here in a minute. But, you know, it was not easy on them. But, you know, God uses everything to achieve his purpose, okay? Even opposition, even things that we don't want to be a part of our lives, we want God to just go and just smooth away, right? Just make it so easy that we can just stumble through it like idiots, all right? But that's not how God teaches us, all right? God teaches us through moments of doubt and understanding, and, you know, times when we need to be rebuilt. You know, he knows how to do those things, and we have to trust that he has a plan to do that. So God rebuilds for his purpose. My next point, that's three if you're counting. God rebuilds in his timing, okay? In our example, and we've already talked about the Bible talking about there's a time for everything, right? That's in Ecclesiastes, by the way, if you're looking for it, or any classic rock station. Ecclesiastes 3:3 says that there's a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build up, all right? So when we're talking about God's timing, he sometimes makes us wait for things, all right? And I don't understand it. You don't understand it. And, you know, I mean, why does he not just smooth the way for everything, you know? And if you look at their return, let's look at the return of the Jewish people. We started out in Ezra, which was the, okay, there's a total of three of them, all right? Just show you God's timing here. Over the course of 100-something years, 80 years, 80 to 100 years, somewhere in there, okay? There's three returns. The first group goes back to rebuild the temple. I told you earlier that was 50,000 people, all right? So a few years later, we have our buddy Esther. You remember Esther, Keith always talks about Esther being such a time as this, right? Well, she's kind of sandwiched in between these returns, all right? So the first return, they went back and built the temple, and then happens Esther, okay? So if she wasn't there to do what she wanted to do, there wouldn't have been a second return, okay? So, you know, God's timing put Esther right in the middle of this story so that she would be able to do what she needed to do to make the second return happen. Okay, and the second return, they went back and to establish worship in the temple, all right? And big surprise here, they were not doing like they were supposed to, you know, God's way. So there was some reform involved in the second visit. And then the third visit was even like 10 years, 12 years later. Nehemiah, who also has a book, you know, these are all kind of tied together in the same story. He comes back with a smaller group of people to rebuild the wall and additionally do some reforms. So we're talking, you know, 100 years, 150 years, you know, here that you know, God's working this, okay? God is like steering a ship, right? I mean, you got to start like way back here, you know, if you're going to get to over here, you know? So He really works things out in his perfect timing, I believe. And when he's rebuilding something in us, we have to accept that, okay? We don't always want his timing to be our timing, but we have to accept the fact that he knows what's best and he has a plan for us. All right, only six more of these things to go. Y'all getting settled in good? All right. The last thing I do want to talk about, this is my last point, so I'm going to get you out of here on time at least. God promises to rebuild us. Okay? That promise is in the Bible. It's everywhere in the Bible. And if you look for it, there is nothing more that God wants to do other than restore us to a right relationship with him, okay? Here's what we need to know. We're in a broken relationship with God, all of us, each and every one of us. We're in a broken relationship with God, and there's nothing that we can do to rebuild on that sin. God's not going to let us build on that sin, and if we do build on our sin, then we know the path of sin, right? We know where it leads, all right? Everybody knows where it leads. So we're broken. We're in a broken relationship with God. And it's because of our sin. And so how do we fix that? Well, I got news for you. You don't, Okay, just like I can't fix a broken air conditioning unit in the youth room. All right, we can't fix our own sin. There's nothing that we can do for that. All right, but we have a God that rebuilds things. Okay, we have a creator God, and we have a God that can rebuild us from that sin. Okay, only God can rebuild it. There's nothing that we can do. And what is God's plan for rebuilding that sin? I mean, we know that that's the Sunday school answer, right? Jesus. That's his plan. He sent Jesus for us to rebuild that broken, sinful relationship and to put us in a right place, to use us for his timing and to use us for his purpose. He'll rebuild us. But, you know, here's the thing about when he sent Jesus. And, you know, one of the things I like about King James Version is it uses sometimes cool words, I guess, but for lack of a better term, that we don't have anymore. But in the King James Version, when he's talking about a time to tear down and to build, one of the words he uses is to pluck up. All right? And I like that image. Okay, of plucking something up. God sent Jesus, and he placed him here for us, but in order to accomplish his purpose, all right, what did he have to do? He had to pluck him up, right? You know, he had to die for our sins, all right? That was God's plan. That was not easy on him, but it accomplished God's purpose, okay? And we're all called for that. Jesus, or God says in Jeremiah, last verse in Jeremiah I'll read, chapter 31, verses 31 through 34. This is God making a promise here. I love how this starts, okay? The day is coming. If that don't get you excited, the day is coming, okay? It's coming, he says the Lord. When I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and Judah, this covenant will not be like the one I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand and brought them out of the land of Egypt. They broke that covenant, though I love them as a husband loves his wife, says the Lord. But this is the new covenant I will make with the people of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my instructions deep within them, and I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. And they will not need to teach their neighbors, nor will they need to teach their relatives, saying, you should know the Lord, for everyone from the least to the greatest will know me already, says the Lord. And I will forgive their wickedness, and I will never again remember their sins. So, God is making a promise. That promise there is for the new covenant. And that was Jesus. Okay? And it's an offer that we all have on the table. It is an offer of grace and forgiveness for our sins through Jesus. And, you know, you can accept that or you can reject it. That's the way that goes. Okay? But, you know, here's what God promises. He promises that when we accept that we don't have to do anything in our power anymore. He fills us with his spirit and his power. That's the power to rebuild, all right? The same power that tears down, that's the power that he uses to rebuild, and he puts it in us as his spirit. And if we accept that, then God starts to rebuild us. He starts to change the way that we do things, change the way that we think about things. He starts to give us a heart to look for him in places, in Scripture. Okay? And he will rebuild us when we accept that. He will rebuild us according to his purpose. For his purpose and for his timing, He'll use us and rebuild us. But here's the kicker. It's with His Spirit. It's nothing we do. It's nothing we can earn. It's all God. And it's His Spirit that gives it to us. God rebuilds not just, I'm not talking about just a future like Revelation promises a new heaven and a new earth. God's going to rebuild that one day. We know that. That's coming. Okay? But I'm talking about us not when we die rebuilding us, because we know He promises that too. But I'm talking about in this world. All right? He promises us hope and joy and peace in this world. Not just in heaven. We don't have to wait for it. All right? If we let Him fill us with His Spirit, we get that hope and the joy now. When you need it most, right? I mean, you know, now's when we need that hope and joy. Last scripture I'm going to read. Romans chapter 15, verse 13 says, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in Him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's God's power, right? And it's theirs for you to accept and take and let Him begin a rebuild in your life, whatever it may be. You know, if it's, you know, life looks different from day to day. I mean, you know, I could wake up tomorrow and my life could look much different than it does today. It's just a sunset away, right? But, you know, God promises us to rebuild those things, all right? So let me pray, and we'll be done. Lord, I just thank You for the opportunity to open Your Word today and study it. I pray for all of us here that You would just be with us and do Your rebuilding in each of our lives, Lord. Just help us to recognize those areas where You would have us tear down. And help us to recognize those areas where You would have us build up in our life. Lord, we know that You have a plan for everything. You have a purpose for everything. You have a time for everything. Lord, just help us to be aware of that. Help us to remain in Your will and in Your Spirit. And use the power of Your Spirit to accomplish everything that You have for us to do. We just ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.